Tonight we learn the Haftarah Parshas Vayechi, which is from the Vayim Rishayim and therefore very different than the previous Haftarahs in that it constitutes part of a narrative, part of a story. This being the beginning of Malachim Aleph. Malachim is the passing of David. Basically, Shmuel Beis is David HaMelech, Shmuel Aleph is Shaul HaMelech. Shaul dies at the end of Shmuel Aleph. David dies, well, shortly after the end of Shmuel Beis, here at the beginning of Malachim Aleph. And as its name implies, it's about Malachim, about the different kings. Malachim Aleph has Eliyahu HaNavi, and Malachim Beis begins with Elisha. That's sort of the dividing line. Vayikrivu Yemei David Lomus. The words Vayikrivu Yemei David Lomus, the days of David came close to his death, is the same language used in this week's Haftarah regarding the passing of Yaakov Avinu. Basically, that's the only similarity between the death and the tzavah of David and Yaakov. What's very noticeable is the difference in the tzavah of Yaakov Avinu and the tzavah of David HaMelech, which are of extremely different nature, as you'll see here in the tzavah of David. That's because Yaakov Avinu's tzavah came in his role as one of the Avais. His tzavah has zero to do with the personal lives of almost all the Shvatim, except for those he criticizes. But when he says something like Zevulun L'chayf Yamim Yishkayin, it has nothing to do with the person Zevulun. Or Asher Shmein Alachba has nothing to do with the personal life of Asher. Whereas the Haftarah of David HaMelech has everything to do actually with the personal life of David for the most part, except for the very first Pesukim. And therefore, it's extremely different. The Vayikrivu Yemei David Lomus, which is similar to Vayikrivu Yemei Yaakov Lomus, has on it an interesting Arachayim HaKadosh, something which I mentioned in a different venue a few weeks ago. And it's an Arizal, which is quoted by the Arachayim HaKadosh, which is just fascinating. He says that the neshama of a person is comprised of many mini neshamis, or the tzaitzis as he calls them. And every person is born with the number of mini neshamis. You picture it as a cluster of grapes, sort of a cluster of neshamis. You have as many small neshamis as the days that you're going to live in this world. So a person lives 100 years, he lives about 36,000 days. Most of us don't live 100 years, so we live 30,000 days or thereabouts. And there are 30,000 little pieces of neshama. And every night, one nitzitz goes up to Shemayim and is done with this world forever. And the combination of all these little pieces of neshama are what you have when you go up Lachamei Vasrim. You get a total neshama made up of all these pieces. So that every day has its own place, has its own mark. The day that's Yom Kippur is a more important piece of the body of neshamas, from which the ultimate neshama is constructed. But if one day you have a bad day, so that piece of neshama is a faulty piece of neshama. It gets put together with the others, and you know, depending on how many bad days you had, the conglomerate neshama of everything put together either limps or has poor eyesight or all the other frailties that we can imagine, depending on how it's put together. So Vayikrivu Yimei so-and-so Lomus, he translates, that the days, the pieces of neshama that the person has, they run out. At some point, there's just only one left. Vayikrivu Yimei Lomus means that he's out of time. He's out of days. This gives new meaning to the Gemara says, Ad sheyichle neshama shebeguf. It says, the neshamas in the guf have to end. So this gives a more personalized meaning to the idea that the neshama shebeguf, the neshamas in a person's guf, somehow at some point come to an end. That's this idea. With this, the Arachayim HaKadosh says, we understand what he calls, I think, the sight of Shaina, of sleeping, going to sleep at night. We say when you go to sleep at night, it's a little bit of Misa. Echa Mishisha Sheba Misa. Because there is a Misa to one Nitzis of Neshama. One Nitzis of Neshama is done with. It's passage of this world is finished. and it moves on to heaven. And Chadashim La Bekarim, we say the morning is Chadashim La Bekarim. Rabbi Ura says, it's Chadash, a new piece of Neshama comes to you in the morning. Say the Malach takes your Neshama, puts the Neshama back. So rather than the image of the Malach just taking it and putting it in storage for the night and then bringing it back, the image is of a piece of Neshama going up forever and a new piece of the Neshama that dwells within you having its moment or its day of being the primary Neshama. Now with this he explains a number of other things, why it is, for example, that we're told to give tzedakah every day. It would seem to be more efficient to go once a week or once a month and make your cheshbon and give out your tzedakah. Yet we have an idea that every day we give tzedakah, every day we daven, whatever we do, we're supposed to do every day. And that's so that each neshama, each piece of neshama, should have that schus of tzedakah in that piece of neshama. Before you go to sleep, you mekabel al malchus shamayim, which is what a person is supposed to do before he dies. A person says Shema before he passes on, and really say vidui, the idea of saying vidui before a person dies, before a person goes to sleep, is a me'en of that little piece, so to speak, of neshama, which is now coming to an end. It also explains the idea of certain averis that it says ein lechelik la'olam haba. It seems unfair or almost ridiculous to say that a person was mevayish someone barabim, so he loses everything. Mevayish someone barabim, lechelik la'olam haba. It sounds for one moment of weakness, a person can lose a whole lifetime. But according to this, it means that that piece of neshama, that day's piece of neshama has no chelik. It's gone. So that if you have 30 or 35,000 pieces of neshama, so you're missing one. If you're missing one, you know, you can survive missing a little bit. And once you start doing it too often, you end up having a very faulty neshama that's put together at the end. So that the as the Archaim HaKadosh says, the whole Seid HaShena is understood with this type of an idea. This idea that every day is a complete nitzutz, a complete idea.
So Shabbos, you have two portions?
The Shami Yisera, you mean?
Two portions?
See, it's interesting. I can conjecture on this, but more than what it says, it's very hard to do. We say having the Shami Yisera, so you have something extra. The truth is the way the Kabbalists explain, the Maral explains Shabbos, the Shami Yisera, every neshama is comprised of Ruach, Nefesh, and Neshama. Ruach is the Ruach Hayim, and Nefesh HaVehemi, and the Neshama, which I'm sure Maishi has told you on numerous occasions. So the part of your Neshama is a Nefesh HaVehemi. The Nefesh wants to eat, and sleep, and stay in bed, and rest. And the Neshama is Kadosh, and wants to serve Hashem. The way the Maral explains it beautifully, he says Neshama Yisera of Shabbos is the Nefesh. The Nefesh wants to eat and sleep. It's doing a holy work on Shabbos, because Shabbos is supposed to eat, he's supposed to sleep, which many of us indulge in on Shabbos. That's why, what's the pasuk for the Shami Yisera? Vayinofash. Nefesh. Vayinofash. So it's the Nefesh that's in the Shami Yisera. Maral calls it Nefesh Yisera. But there the Maral's on the Gemara in Bayon, Tazayin. Eat more food, yeah. So at any rate, that's his idea. The Arvei Nachal, who quotes the Aruch Hayim, who in turn quotes the Arizal, adds another dimension to it. I believe he says that not only does every person have all these pieces of neshama, but every person has additional clusters that he distributes to his children and to his offspring. So the other Marishan had all the clusters of all the all his offspring. Yaakov had all of his, and you sort of give clusters of neshama to every child. And again, Mashiach will come k'sheyichle neshama shebegof. Adam Rishon had a certain extraordinary number, but a certain finite amount of clusters of neshama, and each one represents a person. And then k'sheyichle neshama shebegof. When all the neshamas are done, then will be time for Mashiach. And with this, he explains the idea of a yichus. But he has a Yichus Yisrael because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov carried our neshamas within them as separate clusters, which they passed down to the generations.
21,000 of those clusters are from Adam, this Afar, you're right? Adam gave 70 years of his life.
Oh, gave 70 years of his life, okay. Alright. Yes, Adam gave 70 years of his life, it's true. So, it's true, that's, I guess, a story unto itself. But anyway, yeah. Okay. Okay, good. So whatever you gave David, Vayikruvu, you made David Lomos. His days came close to death. He was finished with his days, and that's what he had left. The Gemara says, in Shabbos, and Bemem Adlik, in the early part that we learned first, that's right after the Hanukkah part, it says that David knew he was going to die in Shabbos, and his body would lie uncared for actually a brief period of time, because he died in the afternoon. But he said, "Let me die on Sunday." And Hashem said, "Emalchus negas bechavrat afilakamalei nima. You can't impinge on Shlomo's time." So he says, "Let me die on Friday." So God said, "Toiv yoyim bechatzirecha me'ela pacharti. One of your days is worth a lot." The Gemara that says he asked to live one more day seems to contradict this Arizal, who seems to say it's just simply impossible to live another day, because you only have a certain amount of days. There is a Gemara in Yevamis that says you can't live another day beyond what's decreed for a person.
Now, how is it that we say that the gates of Shemayim are opened up to tears? If that was supposed to be his last day,
you should know a rule that when a person is going to die,
what?
If a person is sick and dying, and you daven for him to recover, the davening only works if his death is an einish, if he's dying before his time. If he's dying on his time, then the tefillah is fruitless. It's not possible to extend a person's life beyond, that's what the Gemara says. It's not possible to extend a person's life beyond the days that he has. Tysus and Yavamis says one exception, but it's the Gemara says you can't. The Gemara says that you can't extend further, and that's basically the way we understand it. So when we daven for a person to live longer, it's the hope somehow that this is an einish, and if it's an einish, he's dying early, then tefillah or schusim could make him live longer.
So Saint Tehillim Shachol is the same thing?
Saint Tehillim is the same thing. You can only extend a person's life if he has the possibility of it from when he was born. So that's what Tysus refers to. That there are times that others lost days, and those days are floating around, and they could be appended to a different person. That's what Tysus says. It just confuses, because it's an exception. The Gemara says it's a rule, and it's not. At any rate, this is David. David is dying. As I said, he died on Shabbos, and he died on Shavuos. That's why we lay Rus, because it's Shavuos, and then we say Tzitkoscha, because the Yosef Moshe and David died on Shabbos afternoon. Vayikru yimei David lomus, v'yitzav eshloimai b'noi leimar. And he gave his last will to his son Shloimai, saying, now the few psukim we're going to learn today are what you might expect, and the rest of this is certainly not what you would expect. So let's at least learn the initial part of the Tzavah. Anoichi haylech b'derech kol ha'aretz. David says, "I'm going on the way of everyone, of all those who reside in this world. You should strengthen yourself and be an ish." Now it's a little difficult. What does it mean, be ish? What does it mean, be an ish?
Until now, he was relying on his father to a certain extent. Now he's on his own.
Now he's on his own. Okay. The ish, the pashup shad in ish, is the fact that Shlomo HaMelech was 12 years old at the time. Shlomo became king at 12. A person doesn't have a din as an ish until he's 13. Chazal say that Shimon and Levi were 13 at the time they killed Shechem, because the pasuk says, "Vayikach ish charbay," and ish means that they're over bar mitzvah. So ish means to be bar mitzvah. Now Shlomo wasn't bar mitzvah, he was 12. So v'chazak tov ha-yisol ish seems to say to be grown up, to be like a 13-year-old.
The highest form of a man.
It's a higher form. Ish, kada, ish, right? You can append an adjective to ish. But yeah. The Targum, however, translates ish as a ish dochil, as somebody who's a Yirei Shemayim. He translates for Yisrael ish, you should be a person who carries with him Yirei Shemayim. And, they bring a pasuk for that too. when the Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe to appoint Yeshua, Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to appoint his successor, he used the Lashon of Ish, the Talmid HaPasuk. Ish Asheruach Alekim Bay. Okay, so Ish there means a person. Mordechai Ish Yehudi. Okay, Ish Yehudi, I'm Shishem. Vishomar Tois, Mishmeres Hashem Alekecha. And you should keep the Mishmeres, the guard of Hashem, your God, the Leches, Vidrachav, to go in his ways, Lishmarach Hukaisav, Mitzvaisav, Mishpatav, Ta'id Vaisav, to keep his Chukim, Mitzvah, Mishpatim, and Edis. Kakasim Saras Vaisha, as it says in the Chumash, Laman Taskil is Kol Asher Taaseh, so that you should understand all that you need to do. Veis Kol Asher Tifnesham, and anything to which you turn. So he's telling him, this is, I guess, a more typical father to son Savah. He's giving him this Savah to be to follow the Torah. That's a normal Savah. Laman Yokim Hashem is Devarai Asher Dibur Alai Leimar. You should do this because you have a very special mission. The mission is Yakim Hashem Estevar Yashadibur Alai Leimar. It should be Mekoyim that which Hashem said. Im Yishmeru Vanecha Estarkom Loleches Lefanai BeEmes B'Cholavavam U'Chol Nafsham. If the offspring, the children, the generations of David will follow the Torah to keep it B'Cholayv U'B'Chol Nefesh Leimar Loi Yikaris Lecha Ish Me'Al Kisei Yisrael. Then we have a promise that lo yikaris l'cha ish me'al kisei Yisrael. Somebody will always survive. The Rambam says a very big chiddush in the Yad. He says that just like we have an emuna that Mashiach has to come from David, it has to come from Shlomo HaMelech. And the Mefarshei Rambam wonder where in the Gemara there's a source for such an idea that it has to come from an offspring of Shlomo. David had many children. So even though Shlomo's children were kings, but who says that the others can't be B'nai David? So the source appears to be from a Chazal, which we learn when we learn Rus. It says at the end of Rus, that when Rus was born, rather when Rus had a child, that the ladies, all the Maizrais, all the ladies that sat around, gave blessings. They gave blessings that the child should be blessed and should be like our predecessors. So there's a Gemara. The Gemara relates the following. Most people are not aware of this, but it's an episode Beferish and the Pesukim in Malachim, that all of the descendants of David were murdered. At one point in the history, all of the descendants of David were murdered by Ataliyahu. Who was Ataliyahu? Ataliyahu was the only woman that ever sat on the throne by Klal Yisrael. Ataliyahu, who was related to Achav, seems to be a contradiction between Psukim, a sister or a daughter, when her husband died, her husband was the king, and when he died, Ataliyahu was furious and murdered all the children of David, with the exception of a baby that was hidden in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And Yoash was hidden in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And when he got a little older, he didn't wait till he got too old, when he was 7 or 8 years old, they took him out and they rebelled against Ataliyahu and assassinated her. And Yoash, under the patronage of the Kohen Gadol, became the Melech Yisrael. So he was the only one that survived. So Chazal have an expression. It says, were it not for the brachis of those women to Rus, the schus of those brachis, the Lashon Gemara is, nispakeya beitzasa shel David HaMelech. The offspring of David HaMelech would have been cut away. Nobody would have survived. It's an amazing Gemara when you think about it. With saying that it's a schus, when people tell you you have a child, and some people say mazel tov, you should, whatever bracha they give you, those brachas were the schus that ultimately stood for David HaMelech, the brachas that people give you. Now, if it's true or not true that the stipler said that if you have a daughter, you should give a kiddush, and if not, who knows what will happen. So, I don't know, the family of the stipler insists that it's not true. I don't even know. I only know that people say. So people say the stipler said it, and people say there are times that he never said it. So I don't know which or if any of them are true. But if it's true, the only thing that makes sense is not the kiddush, it's not the food, but the brachas that people give. People give a bracha and they say to a person, you should be zeicha to build a bais nema, and you should be zeicha to raise the child, the Torah chup l'maisim taivim. Those brachas are the brachas that stood. Now that Gemara is a source for the Rambam. The Rambam says that the offspring have to be, the Mashiach has to be the offspring of Shlomo HaMelech. And the Gemara there says, El Molei, the brachas of those, Moizu Shalbon, Shalbon, I think it calls them, Nispakeh, Bitzasa, Shal David HaMelech. What do you mean? David had plenty of other children who had offspring. It was only Shlomo's descendants that were killed. And it seems to be a support for the idea that Mashiach ben David has to come from Shlomo HaMelech. That's a possible source, and certainly this pasuk also seems to imply that. All right, so this is the part of the bracha that makes sense to us. The rest of the haftarah is astounding that on his deathbed, David will give a tzavah to take revenge from people, and Yitzhak Hashem will pick up on it tomorrow night.